You're listening to the In the Money Players Podcast. Hello and welcome to the In the Money Players Podcast. I'm your host, Peter Thomas Fornital, back with you for show number 3, the January 1st, 2019 edition. I am not downstate. In fact, we came up to Saratoga Springs for the new year to ring it in style. So I am now broadcasting from the new studio that resides within the little house on the east side. Great coming up to Saratoga for the new year. Did a little 5K in the park. That was fun. And as we record this, it is early in the morning, not even light out yet up here in Saratoga. And today's show, a little bit of trickery. Most of it is going to be the conversation JK and I had about the Eclipse Awards that we recorded the last day. So that will be coming to you in a minute, but just wanted to put in a couple of quick words, wishing everybody out there a happy new year, thanking you all for your support. And there will be a further New Year's message if you listen past our closing song from Willie Nile today. So stick around for that. In the meantime, let's go to the audio tape. Let's talk about the Eclipse Award balloting, JK. This is something in past years I've actually filled out my ballot live on the show. I'm not going to do that simply because I haven't done enough work, to be perfectly honest, with all the craziness and everything going on in the world. But I want to get your thoughts on these categories, and I will then go back over things slowly and carefully. And we'll all fill in my ballot before the deadline on January 2nd. So how much have you done so far looking at these Eclipse Awards?
I've actually looked, was helping a friend with having some ideas of the finalists, who the finalists might be. So I did a little blast through. Some of them are harder than others. But I've got some thoughts.
Excellent. All right. Where shall we begin? What order do you want to go in? Shall we look at the PPs in order?
Yeah, I'm going with the PPs. So the steeplechase, obviously, I'm not overly involved.
I think it's straightforward. I think it's straightforward. I looked at that enough to know that Zanjabil looked like he had the credentials that I was looking for and wanted to put on top. When you put in the ballot, you're meant to list 3 as if you're listing the finalists, but really the points only count for that first one.
We need to so much dive deep into who's going to be second and third, but just some interesting conversations of who else we think will take votes for number 1 and then fall in the second and third spot.
I like it. So we'll move on to 2-year-old male.
Game winner, right? Isn't it over?
Yeah, I don't think there's much to talk about. He was unbeaten, and obviously the Breeders' Cup being the cherry on the sundae. For me, when it comes down to something that's close, I'm a Breeders' Cup believer. I typically am going to go with the extra credit for the horse who did well in the Breeders' Cup. Perhaps a bit of foreshadowing there. I don't think we need to worry too much about second and third there, unless you had any points you wanted to make about any of the other contenders.
No, I was just curious, if you didn't vote on Game Winner, who do you vote for? Like, who is going to actually take another vote is the part to me that I thought was interesting. Guess that there's someone in the world that's going to bet Improbable with the 5-length win in the Grade 1. That seems kind of silly to me that you would bet Improbable over Game Winner. I just want to see the human being who bets someone else besides Game Winner. He could almost be unanimous, but anyways.
Yeah, it wouldn't. I'd have no problem if he were. I think what you could see, if you forced me to do a bet without, we keep saying bet, pick without Game Winner, Improbable Instagram, just because you don't have common form lines to completely make a mockery of it, and they're both undefeated. But I see no reason in the real world why you'd go anywhere but Game Winner there.
Agreed.
Let's move on to 2-year-old Philly, JK. How did you see this one?
I guess because it's America, it has to be Jaywalk. You know, I've been making this argument that, like, we do dirt. Like, that's what we do in this country. And so when you have a horse like Jaywalk who wins the Frisette at a Grade 1 and then also comes back and impressively wins the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Fillies, like, that's supposed to mean a lot. But golly, man, the newspaper record is really good. That was a really dominant and impressive performance. I think Newspaper of Record's future is obviously going to be potentially more exciting than what you're going to get from a Jaywalk. but that's not what this award is about. I want to vote newspaper of record just because I like saying her name, and and she was obviously a lot of fun for me throughout this year. Jaywalk as well, but I would think that Jaywalk is going to win. I would think that Jaywalk having the two grade ones is enough to push her over the top to get the win. The Miss Grillo, if it was a grade one, obviously that could change things. But Jaywalk will be my number one. I think newspaper of record will get some votes and be number two.
Yeah, that sounds exactly right. I mean, for me, when you're looking at it, grade one wins and money, right? So you've got $1.3 million versus $700,000 and the two grade one wins. Newspaper of record couldn't have been more impressive. And there are circumstances where I would have put her on top. But I think Jaywalk did enough to keep the voting pretty traditional here. In terms of having to list a third for the finalist portion, was there another who leapt out at you?
Yeah, I think Bellafina. She won two grade ones. Obviously, didn't run well at Churchill and the Juvenile Fillies, but she did run. She did win two grade ones this year, so I think that it would probably be her. I guess maybe Chasing Yesterday could get a couple of like weird. Why do you have a vote?
Is that what you say for a vote that you deem inappropriate? A why do you have a vote vote? I don't.
Yeah, exactly.
I suppose Bellafina would be the more traditional choice, but I wouldn't say it's as bad as why do you have a vote vote, but simply because you have a string of wins and a grade one. You think it would be that bad of a choice? I mean, knowing not for top spot,
yes.
Not for the top spot, but to put on the ballot. I guess that's the difference in what we're saying.
Oh, that's fine.
You're saying why do you have a vote if you pick Chasing voted, Yesterday over Jaywalk, and I would agree with that. Three-year-old male, shortest conversation of the show.
Well, I think we can just go ahead and skip over that part of it and go to the interesting part of it. Is Justify obviously is going to win this one, but I do know who I think deserves to be second, and I think that this horse will ring near to your heart, and that's Catholic Boy. I mean, won two grade ones on two different surfaces, and I think that is definitely something that deserves some recognition. And I would hope that someone who, why do you have a vote, will vote for Catholic Boy instead of Justify, so that Catholic Boy can at least get his name up there. Oh. He deserves it.
Well, he has the opportunity, the way they calculate the finalists, to just from second and third votes. Nobody needs to vote for him to be number one, for him to be on the ballot. It's not like, even if everybody goes all Justify, there'll still be three names for us to consider.
Perfect. Yeah, I mean, Justify obviously is going to win. He won a triple crown. There's really not much more to discuss there. And I bet you McKenzie can, if people didn't send their ballots in already, could sneak in there. He had a pretty impressive campaign. And if you really, you know, obviously he wasn't a full campaign, but he won two grade ones and two other graded stakes.
He deserves to be on the ballot as one of the finalists for sure. Justify wins it unanimously. Three-year-old Philly, what did this one look like for you?
Monomoy Girl obviously is going to win that one. That's pretty simple. I think Rushing Fall should be a finalist. And the third finalist was one that I struggled with. I guess I thought people might vote for Midnight Bisou, which I think would be deserved. She kind of danced all the dances and she showed up. She was in the money in every race she ran in this year, which I think is probably something that you'd want to get some credit for, especially because all of those were graded stakes races. So I would think Midnight Bisou deserves to be in the mix, Monomoy Girl being the winner, and I'd like to see Rushing Fall take some consideration for her performances this year.
I would agree. You have the grade one win for Rushing Fall. The manner of victory, very impressive. Obviously, Monomoy Girl has to get the nod for me, the way that I look at things. But putting Rushing Fall up there on the ballot and Midnight Bisou on the ballot feels better to me than grabbing one of the, you know, a Euro who raced once or whatever, the other ways that you could logically go. Another very quick conversation. Older Dirt Male. Maybe I'll ask it this way. Who do you put in behind Accelerate?
I think City of Light definitely deserves a little bit of a look. Whew. After that, my heart wants Yoshida, but that doesn't really make a lot of sense because it's older dirt. That's tricky. A lot of his exploits happened on the green stuff. So second choice, I could definitely tell you that I would vote for City of Light. And after that, I'm not 100% sure.
All right. I'll take a longer look and we will get an answer there, get some clarity before I have to send this ballot in. I hear your sentimental attachment, JK, for Yoshida, but if you want to go that route, how about a little love for Mind Your Biscuits and the campaign that he had? You certainly couldn't put him on top, but if you're talking about filling out the underneath spots, would you have a problem with that?
No, not at all. I mean, I agree. I mean, I do wish that there was another grade one that took place on these streets, but it is what it is.
Let's talk about older dirt female. How did you see it?
Man, this one's really tough. I started to kind of just work my way through and I could find a bunch of horses that made sense. Abel Tasman obviously ran two grade ones, big ones. The personal incident up at Saratoga, also the Ogden Phipps on Belmont Day, both very popular races. And then she just kind of had the two duds. You know, Blue Prizes won some graded stakes. You know, Marley's Freedom was one that kind of caught my attention with the ballerina win, the Gopher Wand, and the other graded stakes, but not enough grade ones to really say, like, oh, this is your champion. And then I fell on the horse that, like, I kind of fell on last year in the sprint category. Like, I guess Unique Bella. If you look at what she did, she won the grade two Santa Margarita. Then she comes back and wins two more grade ones, the Bella, the Beholder Mile and the Clementella Hirsch. So, I mean, I guess it's Unique Bella. She's the most underwhelming back-to-back Eclipse champion that we've seen, it feels like. But, I mean, I guess that's where you go.
Wasn't the Santa Margarita, was it? What was the first race of the year for her?
The Santa Maria, excuse me.
Yes, and I swear to you, JK, when we did this last year, I don't even think we talked about Unique Bella in the Eclipse show. So if you came around to her, it was I think after the fact, I think it was a bizarre situation where we just whiffed, because I can remember Matt Bernier saying to us after, what about Unique Bella for that? And being like, yeah, we probably should have mentioned her. That's kind of where I'm going to. I mean, you've got grade one wins and you've got a wide open category. I mean, Marley, I think, is the second place that I go when you consider the trip in the Breeders' Cup and then coming back to win again, but you're not too comfortable giving her the nod?
No, I mean, if I look at the PPs and I cover up the racetracks that these races were run at, it's hard for me to even identify where some of these races took place. The Dance Smartly, I think that's in California.
Right.
Yeah, okay. The Great Lady. Yeah, you know what I mean? It's like, those aren't the races that you envision when you're talking about a champion.
718 she earned to 680 for Unique Bella, so they're close. And Unique Bella in so many fewer races, when you look at figures, I think it also gives a little bit of a nod to Unique Bella. So going to look at that one a little bit more, but I think you're probably on the right track. Male Sprint is up next. I think I know where you're going to go here, but I'm not sure.
Long on Value.
How fun to see a horse that we had something to do with on an Eclipse ballot. Thank you one more time to our friends at 10 Strike Racing for letting us be along for the ride. It didn't last long, but what a two-race ride. I knew I should have gotten up there for Queen's Plate to see it, but it was one of those. It was going to be such a big fight with Susan, because we were meant to be with her family that weekend. Of course, not having another race, I now wish I could time machine back and pick that fight as a potential marital hill to die on, but I did not do it. And there you have it. Long on Value. Great to see the name on the Eclipse ballot, but obviously not one that you are going to be putting as a finalist. Or are you that much of a homer?
No, I think Roy H. and Stormy Liberal are going to run 1-2. Rockingham Ranch is going to hit the exacta in this thing. Roy H., I think, deserves to win the sprint championship. Obviously, he won the Breeders' Cup race. He won the grade one at Santa Anita. Stormy Liberal, back-to-back winner of the Breeders' Cup Turf Sprint, and rolling off four wins in a row for him. I think he should probably get second. And then I guess, you know, here's a horse I struggle with a little bit. I would like to see City of Light's name up there. He won the Triple Bend, obviously, ran second in the four go, and then won the one-turn Breeders' Cup Dirt Mile, which I think could probably could get you in off the goalpost in terms of sprint candidates. What do you think?
He's very interesting. Mind Your Biscuits' campaign was so cool, but you can't, and he's a sprinter by nature, but he didn't run that way this year, so it's not him. I think City of Light deserves a look for third. even though his signature win of the year came in a one-turn mile, I still think when you're looking at a bang-up performance, albeit in defeat in the forego, but when you factor everything in and then you go back and you look at the triple bend, I think it's enough. I think it's enough to get him third. Are we overlooking somebody more obvious?
I think that Stormy Liberal was probably a little bit wise guy-ish of me. I would imagine that Imperial Hint with his grade one races on the dirt probably are going to be enough to keep him in the top three, winning the Vosburgh and the Vanderbilt. So I think that he'll probably be in the, and also the True North, although it's only a grade two, it does take place on one of our biggest weekends up at Belmont. So I think Imperial Hint will probably be in the top three, maybe Stormy Liberal because it took place on the turf. He might slip out of there, and I could actually make an argument that maybe he could be considered for older male turf, Stormy Liberal.
Interesting. We'll get there. Let's move on to the female sprint, JK. Who were your finalists?
So I guess Marley. You know, we have to use Marley in this spot based on that. But in these little races where it's like this, I'd rather just have Shamrock Rose win. She won the Breeders' Cup Filly and Mare Sprint. Let's let that count for something. I couldn't even tell you.
Trips considered, though? I mean, how much do you care about that?
I mean, I care. I mean, I don't.
Who was better in the race, do you think?
I don't think that we should consider Trip when voting for this award because it's a body of work award anyways. So if one race, you know, one race shouldn't carry so much weight except it happens to be the Breeders' Cup and there happens to be no one else with a resume that makes me say, oh, I have to vote for you.
But the case you just made makes me want to vote more. You make a great point about the body of work, but doesn't the body of work go to Marley too with a 100 speed figure in the grade one ballerina at Saratoga?
It does. It does. But why? But is the ballerina worth more than the Breeders' Cup?
No, but to me, I can't separate their Breeders' Cup efforts. Yes, Shamrock Rose got it done, but I mean, I don't think there's any world in my view in which Marley's Freedom wasn't just as impressive as you throw a blanket over who ran the better race from an ability point of view. Actually, if you really put my feet to the fire, I think Marley ran better from an ability point of view. If everything else favored Shamrock, I think I'd go Shamrock, but I think I'm going to go Marley.
In all honesty, what I'll probably do is this will probably be the category that if I happen to be there, this will be the category I probably go to the restroom during.
Oh, that's not nice.
I don't really care. There's no horse that like I'm gonna look back 10 years from now and be like, man, that Marley's Freedom in 2018. Boy, she really, man, she was something special. Like it's not that type of category this year, I don't think.
Let's be honest. When you say race, I'm gonna go to the restroom. You really mean race? I'm gonna duck to the bar in the back and bet a few harness races with Dave Weaver.
If Dave Weaver is there, that will happen.
We got to get him on the show. Definitely. We're adding this list of potential guests. It's pretty fun. Matched only by our list of potential sponsors. Male Turf, JK.
This one is a little bit tricky. A horse that I will say probably deserves even a little bit of credit is like Glorious Empire.
Glorious Empire here with the late December win? Isn't that where you have to go?
I mean, I guess.
Let's talk it through.
Okay, so Glorious Empire is definitely a consideration. Who else? I'm not even going to say this in the horse's name. I'm not even going to mention the Christina Helmers horse. Robert, you can't give it to Robert Bruce just off the Arlington Million win and the Fort Marcy win. You know, Stormy Liberal, you probably can't give it to Stormy Liberal. He's a sprinter who won one grade one, and, you know, you can't do that. You can't really give it to Expert Eye. He just showed up here once and won one race. That doesn't seem like it makes a ton of sense. Catholic Boy, he did have two stakes wins, but, you know, only one grade one, and that was against restricted company. So do you want to give that to – it's just tough. It's tough. So, yeah, I guess you got to give it – I mean, you know, Catapult Sneaky, you know, with the two grade two wins at Del Mar, but I guess you have to give it to Glorious Empire, which kind of makes me – maybe, hopefully they run these back-to-back and I can stay up there betting harness races a little bit longer.
You're a sick individual, JK. So many horses from throughout the year that we talked about on the podcast in this category. It's a lot of fun. I don't know which one to taunt you with most. I was going to make a spring quality joke, but I figure you've suffered enough at his hands.
Yeah, let's just give it to Yoshida and be done with it.
Female turf candidates. Fun to look back through these PPs. What did you do?
Well, I think the first question is do you feel dirty if you give it to Enable?
No.
You don't?
No. I mean, dirty? No. It's the Breeders' Cup turf. It's if you want to reward people for taking these kind of chances, I'm not saying it's definitely what I want to do, but I don't feel dirty.
Over Sister Charlie.
I mean,
who won four grade ones on American soil.
Yeah. I think when you look at what the rules are, Sister Charlie is probably the better choice. I'm just saying I don't have like a huge problem if somebody wants to go in the different direction. I don't think there's too much doubt who'd win if they raced. But now, is that right? She won four? I remembered the three. Oh, the Jenny Wiley. Yes. I mean, that's a very hard resume to deny. Sister Charlie probably should win. Put Enable up there with the finalists. Who would be your third?
I mean, I think probably one of the other Chads would have an argument with either Uni or Raving Beauty. I think Raving Beauty had two grade ones. But man, the underdog lover in me kind of wants Vasilica to get her name up there.
What a campaign.
Based on, yeah, you know, being claimed and winning grade ones and winning graded stakes. I think she would be really fun to see up there. But, I also don't think that you can ignore Raving Beauty having won two grade ones and being in the money and two others.
Now, the other categories, JK, I'm definitely going to want to do some more work and digging on. But let's have a quick conversation, starting with owner. Feels like Godolphin and Hronis stand above the rest of the crowd. Huge year for Godolphin, with over $20 million in earnings, as well as a lot of graded stakes success, six grade one wins. Are you tempted to take one of those two? And which one would you give preference to? Anybody else you want to nominate quickly?
Yeah, it's tricky with Ronis, like not having nearly as many horses, but seem to have a lot of starts, though. You know, they run a lot of lower level stuff, probably a lot more lower level than Godolphin. But no, the money difference there, you got to go with Godolphin there with the $20 million, winning a lot of big races, a big operation. If you don't give it to Godolphin, you probably want to give it to Ten Strike, but Godolphin if you're more of a blue blood.
What are you thinking in terms of breeder?
This is one you have to dive really deep into, I think, to try to figure out where it's at. It can be misleading, the stats. Windstar obviously had the most money overall with a lot of runners. They breed a lot of horses. Calumet was up there as two. Besalu had $7 million in earning, but that could be a little bit misleading because that came all from Gunrunner. John Gunther obviously bred a Triple Crown winner. There should probably be some consideration there. This is one that I'll probably not give you an answer on. I'll let you dig a little bit deeper, but those are some of the storylines, at least I would follow.
Yeah, going in, Gunther is the name on the lips, and probably that's the way that I'm going to want to go in the end. But I do want to dig around a bit more, and giving Windstar some sort of a nod for the earnings is tempting. 215 starters on the year, totaling $8.4 million plus, probably ends up on the short list as well. We'll see about the third name, and we'll see who I end up sticking. That's one where I'm going to figure out my contenders and then grind a little bit more, because it's easy to just dial into the information that gets spoon-fed to you when you get the ballot, but I think sometimes you can come up with some clever ideas on your own if you dig a little bit deeper. Does that sound about right to you?
Absolutely.
All right, let's go on to jockey, JK. Maybe we should have done apprentice jockey first, but I clicked on jockey, so that's what we're going to do. Which Ortiz do you give it to?
I think give it to Irad this time. He had almost 100 more wins than Jose. He had a better year just in general. I think it's pretty simple. I think it's probably a slam dunk that it'll be Irad. It'll be back-to-back Ortiz brothers, and I imagine that won't be the last time it happens.
Okay, while we're talking about riders, Do you have an opinion on Apprentice? I'm not a believer. You'll see certain folks almost proudly talk about their ballots and be abstaining in certain categories. And generally, I don't love that. I think that it's our job to dive through the data and make decisions and try to help make the most informed decisions we can. Apprentice is the one category where I do have some sympathy for that point of view, because I feel like unless you watch the specific candidates involved every day, you might be really missing some nuance. The stats don't necessarily tell the whole story. Do you agree with that as a philosophy, JK? And what do you think about this category specifically?
I do. I think this was tricky. I think the thing you want to probably look at first is the amount of wins that someone had, and then the money they earned. But then you also want to try to see, like, you know, who, you know, I don't think you want to necessarily punish someone for having a lot more starts than someone else, but you also don't want to give someone too much credit who had a lot more at bats. So I typically, when I look at this list, I feel pretty comfortable just looking to see who earned the most money and who had the most wins. That's Weston Hamilton. I tell you what, this Ray Lou Gutierrez kid, I've actually last week, like, fell in the YouTube hole and watched like 3 or 4 interviews with him. He's got a college degree. His father was a trainer. I think his uncle was a rider. He went down to Gulfstream, and now he's riding at Aqueduct, and seems to really have a career ahead of him. And so he's one that, you know, with 94 wins out of 737 starts, is one to consider. But I would imagine that Weston Hamilton will just win based on winning the wins and the earnings.
What do we have left?
Trainer.
Yes, we got to do Trainer. I had forgotten about Trainer. I thought we'd done it all and was setting up a gag for Horse of the Year. Let's talk about Trainer really quickly. Chad Brown sits atop the earnings list, as Musin and Baffert right in behind. Baffert, you know, is going to be on the ballot at least for producing the second Triple Crown winner. Not producing, but training the second Triple Crown winner in just a handful of years. Who do you give your top vote to in this category?
I guess it has to be Chad. I think Steve Asmussen probably can deserve it every year, right? With, you know, 397 wins, he runs a lot more horses than everyone else in a lot different places. The money earnings, I think, for Steve is probably a little bit skewed based on Gunrunner's Pegasus, which shows up in this calendar year. So I mean, I guess I wouldn't have a problem if Bob got it for, you know, having a Triple Crown winner. Wouldn't have a problem if Chad got it. I wouldn't have a problem if Steve got it. I think one of the interesting people that you could maybe throw into the mix, and I don't know if he's ever been a finalist before, probably not, would be Brad Cox for training the Great Long on Value, and also probably the 3-year-old Philly champion.
Yeah, maybe that one too. Maybe sneak a little reference in there for the 3-year-old champion, but give the props one more time to Long on Value. I say one more time, I assume the veneration of Long on Value will be an oral meme that will proceed way into the hundreds of episodes of this show. And that brings us to Horse of the Year. I think this is good. I mean, we've already had the debate. I think we feel differently about it. I'm voting for Accelerate. I feel good about voting for Accelerate. I think, you know, the horse that ran faster for longer. I've talked about my giving extra credit to the Breeders' Cup Classic in the past. I have no problem. I'm not one of these people. And it's funny because there's people on both sides of this argument who'll say, "You're an idiot if you don't agree with me." I will not do that. For me, the way I look at the world, very happy giving the award to Accelerate. I feel like the only argument for Justify is, but he won the Triple Crown. That's honestly as impressive as it is. He has his own perfectly good 3-year-old award that we can give him. Again, I don't have a problem. If you're all about the Triple Crown and you can't see past it and want to give it to him, I'm not going to tell you you're wrong, but that just ain't me. It's not how I look at horse racing. It's not how I look at the world. If you made me choose between being a Triple Crown guy and a Breeders' Cup guy, I'm a Breeders' Cup guy through and through, and I feel like if you feel that way, Accelerate is the clear and correct alternative. Have you changed your mind at all since we initially started talking about this, or are you still Team Justify all the way, and can you give a reason other than some variation of but the Triple Crown?
To me, it's very simple. It's a question that I'll ask anyone who votes for Accelerate, and I don't have a problem with it, but I'll just ask the question and then I'll move on. if Frosted nails American Pharoah in the first Saturday in June in 2015, and we don't see a Triple Crown in 2015, and this is the first one we've seen in 30-something years, does it change your vote?
I don't think so. It's hard to say because there might be an emotional weight that changes things around. But I think if everything else was similar, well, obviously it would be. We're still, at that point, I think I'm still voting the same way. It may have been different if there hadn't been a Triple Crown and if the races that Justify ran had been more complete and or he'd beaten better horses that went on to do anything through the year. I think at that point, those factors would also come more into play for me. But as it stands, I think that when you really, I understand emotionally, it probably would have been an undefeated Justify had it been the first Triple Crown, but I don't think that's right. And I think in this thought experiment, I'm happy sticking with my vote where it was. Where is yours?
Justify. Definitely Justify. I just feel like I feel like when everything about our sport, all right, when you debut a horse in a maiden race at Santa Anita, at Saratoga, at Belmont, when you debut a horse at Del Mar, when you buy a horse at the Keeneland sale, when you buy a horse at the Saratoga sale, when you're at the 2-year-old in training sale, when everything, it's all, this entire sport is focused a lot on, and almost all, at least that's the first step in the Triple Crown. And when you can do that, when you can win all three of those races in that short amount of time, and it's proven to be a very difficult thing to do. We've seen a lot of great horses that haven't been able to get it done. And I just think that it's an accomplishment that can't be ignored, and it surely can't be ignored for winning a gold cup and winning a things that are less than admirable, you know, not admirable, but less than excitable. You know, it's just a lot of kind of average races.
Oh, great, you're underselling some of the great races in the sport by taking a look by describing Accelerate's campaign that way. I think that's a mistake. Just from, like, if it was a debate team, and I'd say for your argument, like, don't diminish what the other horse did.
Well, I'm not diminishing it. I'm just saying, like, you know, if you just look at the horses that he beat in the grade ones, and then I'll leave it.
Look at the 3-year-olds that Justify beat, none of whom went on to do anything.
Fair enough, but he won it. It was a Triple Crown.
See the one argument, but Triple Crown, Triple Crown, Triple Crown.
Accelerate and the San Diego Handicap beat Muptahij and Fear the Cowboy. You can't even tell me who trains Fear the Cowboy. Pavel and Prime Attraction in the Pacific Classic. West Coast and Isotherm, a turf horse, and the Awesome Again.
I mean, West Coast is a decent horse, but it's all about the Breeders' Cup Classic to me and the string of grade ones. You can pick apart the form all you want. To me, it doesn't diminish the fact that the horse ran faster for longer, won the Breeders' Cup, beating any of the horses he would have faced had he shipped east. That was something else you said you might have felt better about him in our previous conversation had he shipped east. He beat any of those horses anyway in the Breeders' Cup. Look, I'm not saying you're wrong. I like I said, if you think the Triple Crown is the end-all be-all, give me the Breeders' Cup. You take the Triple Crown. I think the sport would be healthier if we put more focus on older horses, more focus on running 12 months out of the year, more focus on a series of races open to all the best competitors rather than, you know, high school basketball of the Triple Crown trail. And that, I feel, again, I'm not saying your vote's wrong, but I think you're going the wrong way by picking apart the form of the best older horse with the Breeders' Cup Championship.
I don't disagree. I just think that it's there's a certain amount of prestige that goes with winning those three races. You got to go with that.
One last question for you. Had all the horses who, but for unluck or very aggressive tactics by other riders, would have won the Triple Crown in the interim between 78, if three of those horses had won, which they honestly easily could have, I mean, I'm not saying it would be the favorite that three of them would have won, but, you know, it's like a 6-1 chance or something that you could have seen three more Triple Crown winners under other circumstances. Would that change your mind if the Triple Crown wasn't something that had only happened twice since 1978?
Less impactful, definitely. But I still feel like winning the, you know, the Derby, the Preakness, and the Belmont in that short span is still more impressive than the grade ones that Accelerate strung together. Because here's the truth, and I don't know how you feel about this, and maybe you don't. I feel like the Derby and the Classic are equal. They cancel each other out. They're equal.
Interesting. I think that line of argument makes more sense. I just can't call races equal when one isn't open. But you make a great point. I mean, there's such a focus about that. It's not everybody, but there's a disproportionate amount of focus of people who are in the game to win that one race. So I can absolutely see placing it equal. I don't think there's any logical fallacy there. But in my gut, I just take a little bit the other view and give a little bit more credit. But I think in terms of making a really good argument, that dog hunts a lot better than the Fear the Cowboy argument.
That's fair. That's fair. That's fair. I'll leave it at that.
We can agree to disagree. It is not, we've talked about it so many times already on this show. It's better to not agree. It makes it more fun. We'll see what happens. Oh, I'll tell you this. The voters are going to see it your way. If I was betting on who was going to win, I mean, Accelerate's 10-1. I don't think that enough people are going to see it my way, but I'm just making the argument and sticking to my guns because that's how I feel, and it doesn't make sense to just try to be on the winning team and vote Justify. What do you think? Do you think there's any chance Justify does not win?
Oh, I think there's probably a chance he doesn't win, but I think he will.
Would you take the 10-1 on Accelerate?
Yeah, absolutely.
Interesting. Bye. Interesting. All right. I've kept you longer than I said, JK. I want to thank you so much for taking time out away from your family and getting this done. I know it was a little crazy, and I appreciate you doing it. And just want to say thanks, man. Also, once again, thanks to all of you, the listeners. It's been great. Not only do you make the show fun to do, but you've made this transition to having our new show as seamless as can be. We hope you will continue to stay with us and support us. Support our sponsors once we get them. That's all going to be happening soon in the new year. We will be back for the next show. I don't exactly know what it's going to be. Subscribe to the new iTunes feed. We are up on there in the Money Players Podcast. Stick with us on Twitter. I'm at Looms Boldly. He's at UT Big Hair. And good things going to be coming down the pike in 2019. That's it for now. I'm Peter Thomas Fornital. May you win all your photos. So, Perrin, it's January 1st. That means that every horse born in this hemisphere has a birthday today. You have any message for the horses?
Happy birthday, horses.